So let's start from Pasuk. Let's go back to Pasuk Ches, because we didn't do the Rashi. Okay, we did not do the Rashi. So if we have Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Ches, V'loy Oisif L'Hasir, this part, this is really right in the middle of the discussion where the Pesukim are complaining against Menashe. There's a very great complaint being presented that Menashe, he introduced the Pesel Hasemel into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Bayis, which Hashem said, let's read the Pasuk Zayin, let's go read the whole thing. Vayosem es Pesel Hasemel Asher Osa Beis HaLakim, that he inserted the Pesel Hasemel, which he made in the Beis HaMikdash. What's the base here? The Pasuk describes what is the greatness of the Beis HaMikdash. Asher Omar Elokim El David V'El Shlomo V'No, Hashem spoke concerning this place to David and Shlomo's son, B'Bayis HaZeh V'Shlam Asher B'Chayti Mikol Shifti Yishol. Asim Es Shmi Le'Elom, I will put my name, I'll rest my name forever. Now we mentioned a quick point, we mentioned the word Le'Elom here is spelled in a very unusual way. Normally Le'Olam means forever. And here, Le'olam is being spelled Le'elom, right? Le'elom. So why is it being spelled unusual? Someone learning the Radak once said the word Le'elom here does not mean only forever, it means in youth, in Elam. And Elam means a lad. So here Hashem says that my plan was that this day I think the Radak. Let me take a look, because I'm going to do Radak here. It's Pasuk Zayin. Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Zayin. I don't see it. No, Pasuk Zayin. So maybe look at the Malbim. Kamol Olam. Oh, the Radak. Or there's no Radak. The Malbim. There is no Malbim either. So maybe it appears somewhere else. Okay, everyone here, all the Mefarshim say simply means Le'olam means forever. I did see, probably saw in the art school, that Le'olam can also be interpreted to mean Le'elam, as a youth. And the meaning here is Hashem says, I want the vigor, the freshness and the vibrance of the Shechina will be here. It's not just going to be like a Zokain, it's old and it's worn out and it's stale. Hashem's presence will always be fresh in the Beis HaMikdash. And the pasuk goes on to further describe, and I will no longer continue to remove the foot of Yisrael from the earth, asher which I have established for their forefathers, rakim yishmeru lasos, if they will continue to guard, eis kol asher tzivisim, if they will continue to guard that which I've commanded. In other words, I promise that Hashem will rest here forever and in freshness. Only on the condition that they guard l'chol ha'terov ha'chukim ha'mishpotim b'yad Moshe. But what happened? Pasuk Tes, v'yesa Menashe misled es Yehuda v'yesha Yerushalayim la'sos ro min ha'goyim, more than the goyim asher hishmid Hashem b'bnei v'nei. So very frightening pasuk that Menashe was worse than the evil that he perpetuated in his time, was greater than the evil of the nations of Canaan. And because of their evil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu drove them out of Eretz Yisrael in order to make room for Klal Yisrael. And now we have done worse than them. The sins that the Jewish people committed in the land were worse than the sins of the people of the Canaanim. And therefore, obviously, we were no longer deserving to live in this land. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Zayin La'olam is La'elam. V'le'oisif l'hosir es regal Yisrael musav al Pasuk shel ma'ala. V'akol kubulanu hu, the entire Pasuk here is a complaint. Kloimar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer Kach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kach amarti el David v'el Shlomo b'beis, so I said to David and to Shlomo, b'bayis hazeh, in this bayis, osim shmi shom le'olam, v'gam hivtachtim, and I also promise le'osif le'hosir regli shom yal hodom arak, im yishmu, provided that they will guard the mitzvos, v'yata, now they have not been faithful, v'yes ha'menashe nimso shal yodo nistal kashchina v'gam anu adayin begolus al yodoi. Look what it says here. Very powerful Rashi, that because Menashe, he misled Klal Yisrael to sin worse than the nations of the world, worse than the Canaanim, that's why the Shechina departed, that's why we're exiled. And Rashi here says something very powerful, ad hayom hazeh, we're still in Golis, adayin begolus al yodo.
Edom?
It's Golis, so you have to, there's a very popular idea that the Bayis Sheni was never really a return to the Bayis Rishon. Bayis Sheni was just a temporary chizuk. It was like a big Beis HaKnesses, a very big Beis HaKnesses where they offered korbanos, but it was never the full restoration of the Shechina that existed during the time of the Bayis Rishon. It was a preparation for the Golos that would come, for the 2,000 years of Golos that we're still in today. Yeah?
So I was going to ask you, but I don't know if it's related.
No, say.
But the Haftarah, we did,
Shabbos.
From Yecheskel. And it's talking about the Binyan of the third base.
Yes, right.
This was
right
at the end of
this,
the
right
Golos of Babel.
Exactly. That's a very important point. Tvershel makes this point that really we live in a world where we think of the Beis Hamikdash as a set of three: the trial, the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, the Bayis Shlishi. The truth is, there's nowhere in Tanakh anywhere that tells about the Bayis Sheni. In Tanakh, we have the Bayis Rishon in Sefer Melachim and in Sefer also Divrei Hayamim. And then we have the Bayis Shlishi. So what happened to the Bayis Sheni? The Bayis Sheni is not like the Bayis Rishon, not like the Bayis Shlishi. So what is it? So the answer is that the Bayis Sheni really is a scaled down version of the Bayis Shlishi. You see, the Bayis Rishon was never a rebuilding of the Bayis Rishon. It never came in. The Bayis Sheni was built on the pattern, the template of the Bayis Shlishi. But because we are not yet ready for the Bayis Shlishi, Mashiach has not come, and the Shechina is not resting in Klal Yisrael, so the Bayis Sheni is basically a very extremely simplified version of the Bayis Shlishi. So it's not like we have a Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, the Bayis Shlishi. There's just the Bayis Rishon that came to an end, and now we're yearning for the Bayis, the next Bayis, which is presented by Yecheskel. It's the what we call the Bayis Shlishi. In the meantime, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us favor and he allowed us to build the Beis HaMikdash. The Bayis Sheni was built through Nevi'im, through the Anshei Knesset, the Nevi'im living at that time, based on a scaled down, simplified version of the Bayis Shlishi. So we never came back to the full restoration of Gula, and that's really what it means over here. It's a very powerful expression, and Menashe's of the effect that Menashe, what he has done, the sins that he has done, has brought us to a point where Ad Hayom Hazeh, we are still suffering because of him. That's a very powerful idea. Okay.
How do we actually know? That's what the Mefarshim say, but in the of course, Haftorah doesn't say anything. It doesn't make bias.
Right, it doesn't say numbers. That's all rabbinic terminology. That's all modern terminology. Because since, in hindsight, right now, we had the Bayis Rishon, and we had the Bayis Sheni, and it was destroyed. And we're waiting for the Gula Hasida. So in order to just,
so
it's a matter of...
We're giving,
it doesn't say Rishonim, anywhere, it doesn't say the word...
Rishonim, how many times is Rishonim? Or are they interpreting the Pasuk based on...
No. The psukim are clear. There is when Yecheskel was writing about, he was referring to the building of the next Beis Hamikdash. The Bayis Sheni was meant to turn into the Bayis Shlishi. The Bayis Sheni was really meant to turn into eventually, if we would have been worthy and the Shechina would have returned, to morph into the bias the way it's presented in Sefer Yechezkel, but that never happened. So it's it remained. Okay, let's see. So this is a very powerful name. The Menashe's, the Rashi learns that we are still suffering because of his sins. Ariyam Azlat Sipasa Yud. Vayidaber Hashem O Menashe Vil Am Avlo Hikshiva. Hakadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Menashe and his people. Vlo Hikshivu. They did not listen. Hashem sent prophets. Who were the prophets living in this time? There were different Nevi'im. Many of the Nevi'im appear in Trei Asa. Some of the Nevi'im in Trei Asa, they said their prophecies during the time of Menashe. Vayavei, who was also living Yeshaya. Yeshaya lived at the time of Menashe, and in fact, we're going to see soon that Menashe was the grandson of Yeshaya. Because Yeshaya gave his daughter to Chizkiyahu in marriage, So that means that Menashe, who was the son of Chizkiyahu, was the grandson of Yeshaya the Navi. And what did Menashe do to Yeshaya? He murdered him. He killed him. He killed his own grandfather. He didn't just kill him in cold blood. He put him on trial. We're going to see some of the Midrashim soon. He said to him that your prophecies contradict the words of Moshe. We'll see some of the Midrashim later on. And therefore, he basically put him on trial. He put him on trial as being a Navi Sheker. Because the things that he said did not make sense. And he legitimized his murder. He killed his own grandfather. Let's see. Pasek Yud Vayidaber Hashem El Menashe V'Yalamo V'Yalo Hikshibu, and they did not listen. Pasek Yud Aleph Vayaveh Hashem Aleihem Esore Hatzava Asher L'Melech Hashu. Hashem brought upon them the Sore Hatzava Asher L'Melech Hashu, the army of Melech Asher, the legions of Av Melech Asher came to attack Menashe. Vayilketu Es Menashe Bachochim, and they captured him with hooks, via asuru ban chushtayim, and they tied him up with chains. Chushtayim are chains.
It's like a ring that you put in an animal's nose.
That's a nose ring, right? So there are different words. See, there vayilkutu means they captured him with. That we're going to discuss that. They captured him with a hook. And then they tied him up with chains, vayolichu bavela, and they brought him down to Bavel. Now, okay, you're making a very good point. Let's just see over here what it says in the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos pasik yud hikshivu inyan shmir. They did not listen. He captured him ba chochim hu tabas hamasimim belechai hachaya. It's a hook that you put in the cheek of an animal. Leilichot ba korcho to force the animal to walk into its will. Kamor v'nasata chachim belechai chalgol. Put hooks on your cheeks. V'yam b'losh melitza v'she'il. That's a borrowed term. Then he put him in chains. Ban chushtayim shalshlo shal nachoshes of copper. Now this term, the Mepharshim point out, is extremely unique. The yilkidu is a term which means a trap. It's a trap, but it's a type of trap where you fall in. You're completely enveloped in the trap. You have a net, right? The word lakida is a proper word to use in reference to a reshes. A net, when fish are caught in a net or a bird is caught, the entire creature is completely contained in the trap. A choch is a hook. You're not enveloped in the hook. The hook is attached to the object, and you drag the object by the hook. So these two words, possibly never in Tanakh, come together. These two words don't go together. They have a completely different meaning. The fact here that they're combined together is an expression. It's an idiom. It's not to be taken literally, and it basically means he was completely contained. He was completely controlled. Like, you know, you always hear stories about prisoners, and they just disappear. Right? Yeah, you think you have in your custody a serial murderer, and all of a sudden he disappears. No matter how good the security is, you never really can contain someone who really wants to get out.
Argentinian stuff.
That's what it's called. So there are people. There's nothing you can really do to contain them. You have this technique and that technique. They'll always find a way to escape. This expression represents the ultimate form of imprisonment. There was no way you can escape. Impossible. It's the best the world has to offer, and that's how we have this combination. There's a hook. The hook means you're under my control, but also means you're completely enveloped inside an environment where there's no way out. It's a good name for a jail. captured by a... Good morning, how are you? Okay, so this is what it means. Let's go back to Pasuk... Okay, pasuk yud beis uche hotzerlo, and when they caused him pain, chila espinei Hashem elokav. So here it says something. Now this section that we're about to read now does not appear in Sefer. We discussed this last week. Does not appear in Sefer Melachim. Sefer Melachim, the story of Menashe is pretty short. Doesn't say much about him. Menashe, it really gets a lot of attention in the Gemara and in the Midrashim, Sanhedrin. But in the Pesukim, he doesn't really get all that much attention, especially in Sefer Menashe. Sefer Melachim just talks about his sins. He was extremely evil. He worshipped his children to Molech. and he did all the worst crimes, and he caused Klal Yisrael to sin, to stray, to a point where it's beyond return. Here we have a whole elaboration that he did Shuvah. Only in Sefer Divrei Hayamim do we mention, we discussed last week, we'll discuss it again in a few moments, but here we now begin the series of Sukkim which tell us exactly his Shuvah, and there is a very big disagreement in the Gemara if his Shuvah was sincere or it was just misafa ulchutz from the surface and on the outside, but was not that sincere. So the pasuk says uche hotzer lo, when he was in pain, chila, he prayed, he supplicated as pnei Hashem elokav vayikonam od, and he was humbled very much milifnei elokav osav, the God of his fathers. He did tshuva when he was in prison. Pasuk yudgimel vayispalel elof, he was mispalel to Hashem. Vaye oser lo, Hashem allowed himself to be entreated. Vayishma techinoso, Hashem listened to his prayer. Vayishivehu Yerushalayim lemalchuso, Hashem restored him to his malchus. Vayeda menashenu ki Hashem hu Elokim. He then realized Hashem indeed is hu Elokim. There are a lot of things going on. So let me just tell you very quickly some midrashim. One of the midrashim is that they took him, they put him into a pot. They put him into a pot, a big, large pot, and they filled it up, I guess, with water, and they began to boil him in this pot. And at that moment in time, he was extremely desperate.
The Medrash says
it? Yes, the Medrash says this. And at that point in time, here, I'll read you the words in a few moments. It's a Medrash in Rus. It's not. There's some things which are in the Gemara, both. Many times you have something which is both in the Gemara and in the Medrash. So there, you know, overlaps. And the way it's presented is usually not exactly the same. There are different differences which have different meaning. I'll read you the exact words in a few moments. It was Mispalel, and then when he was Mispalel, he went through every single Avodah Zarah. He pulled out his Rolodex of all the forms of the Zohar, and he had to do them all. There's no contact he did not have available in his Rolodex, and he pulled them all out, and he was mispalled to every single of the Zohar, and nothing happened. Then he said, remember my father, Chizkiyahu, he also had a God. His God was Hashem. And remember, he once told me about Tzar Lecho, Mutzucho, Kol HaDvar Mo'ila, you'll pray to Hashem and he'll answer you. So let me try Hashem. So he was mispalel to Hashem, and all the malachim Shemaim said, no way are you going to accept the prayer of this extremely wicked person. And Hashem said, if I don't accept this prayer, it's going to be a bad lesson for all future potential Baalei Tshuva. They're going to say, just like Menashe, Hashem did not accept this prayer, so why should we bother doing Tshuva? I have no choice but to accept the Tshuva of Menashe in order to set an example for all future generations, then I'll always accept Tshuva. So the malachim, it's strange, type of chazal with you, did not want to let Hashem to do this. Hashem said, Hashem had to make a tunnel. He dug a special channel to allow the Tshuva of Menashe to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem answered him, and he was restored. Now the question is, was he restored? Was it a sincere tshuva or not? So this pasuk is the source of discussion where it says here at the end, pasuk Yudim, we just concluded, Vayishivehu Yerushalayim l'malchuso. Hashem returned him to his malchus, which some learn he only was returned to his malchus, but he did not return fully to Hashem. The tshuva was insincere. Hashem did it just that he can be an example for others, but he never really, his tshuva never penetrated more than the surface. It was an insincere tshuva, l'malchuso shav, but he did not return fully to Hashem. Okay, now let me read you the Medrash. Let me read the words. It's a very interesting Medrash. The Medrash says, Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, this in the Rus. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana Amar ki roi ma nikoha. They put him in Amar. That means a pot of copper. That's what this funny word means. Omar Rabbi Levi Bar Chama also loy mula shel nechoshes. What does that mean? They put him in a mula. Mula is a pot. Another word for a pot of nechoshes. Hoy masik no urmi tachtov, and they ignited a kivsha. Well, it's a pot, a big pot of copper, and they filled it up with water, and they put him inside, and they lit the match underneath the pot. And he was now bubbling. He was boiling. And he was tzeveach. He was crying. He was screaming. Tzelem pilon. Tzelem pilon. Shezabani save me. He called out, this idol, save me. This idol, save me. The word Shezabani means save me. Kevan Sharosh Loho Iluhu Kulam, when he saw that all of the idols that he called out did not do anything for him. Omar, it's an amazing expression. Zohur Hoyisi, I remember when I was a child, my father once taught me, Makre Oisi, he read me the Pasik, Batsar Lucha Umitsuha, Kol Hadvon Wela, Biachri Sayomim, Vishavta Ad Hashem Elokecha, Kikel Rachum Hashem Elokecha, God is a God, Hashem Elokecha is a God of mercy. On us, we cried out, Tzavachle, and he said, I'll cry, you know what? I'll cry out to him. And he made a condition. Im yanali mutav. If Hashem answers me, good. The imlo oni. Hakula chadohi kol ape shavin. Unbelievable api course, he said. If Hashem does not answer me, it means Hashem is no different than all of the other gods. Ba'osa shah, omdu malach hashas, v'sasimu es kol achalona shalmal. At that moment in time, the malach hashas came, they sealed all the windows in heaven. V'yamu lufana v'yiboyin ha'ilmim adam shemit selim v'heichu ata mekabla b'shuva. Such a wicked person, you can accept a shuva. Amu lochem m'eini mekabla b'shuva, hareini noel pesach b'fnei kol ba'alei shuva. If I will not accept this prayer, it will set a bad example for all future Balei Tshuva. Mizeh also HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chosa, so me also HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did Hashem do? Chosa lo chasira, Hashem dug a special channel mitachas kisei kvodo mimokom she'ein malach yochol lishtoy, from a place where malachim have no shlita. If a malach has shlita over that location in Shemayim, they would have stood by the door and blocked his tshuva from entering. And that comes from the expression vayeos Serlo. In Pasuk Yudimul it says Vayispalel Elav. Menashe was mispal to Hashem Vayyoser. The word Yoser is Vayichoter. Choter, what we do is you change the ayin for a ches. Ches means to dig a tunnel. That's the drasha. Hashem dug a special tunnel for Menashe to accept his tshuva, because the malachim would not allow his tshuva to enter. Vayishma techinas, and Hashem listened to his prayer. Okay, so that is one very interesting. In the Targum, okay, yeah, I didn't look at the Targum. Okay, very good. Okay. So this is I didn't prepare the Targum. Okay, very good.
From where?
That's a Medrash Rus Rabbah, which is also, he says, is included much in the Targum of this pasuk. So he is a mashal. You talk about the kind of the topic of tshuva. So we know that David, kol ema David chata ein ela toya. So why did he sin? To establish the oil of tshuva, the pillar of tshuva. People should learn from David, you can do tshuva. Another example, important component of tshuva is Menashe. Menashe was the tshuva. Hashem really, technically, his tshuva should not have been accepted. Hashem made a special channel to accept others can learn from him. Now, there's another one other important thing I left out. It says in Pasuk Zayin that he made here the pesel. No, we'll come to that later on. That will leave. Okay, let's go. Let's go further. Okay, let's go for the Pasik, so he did shuv and he returned to, okay, let me read you another medrash. Okay, well, before we go further, one more medrash. What does it mean over here that vayeoser lo, Hashem listened specifically to him? So the Gemara is an important Gemara. There are three kings and four hediotos of Nochel Maba. Who are they? Shloisha Melachim, who are they? Number one is Yeravam ben Nevat. Okay. Number two is Achav, one of the kings of Yisrael, Umenasha. Three kings. Rabbi Yehuda Choylek, he disagrees that Menashe does have a chelik in Olam Haba. Menashe yesh lo chelik Olam Haba. Shneimar, how we know from this pasuk, this is the source of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in the Gemara that Menashe does have a chelik. Shneimar, vayispalel elav, vayishma tichinoso. Hashem listened to his supplication. Vayishivehu Yerushalayim lemalchuso. So the drush is mimash meshesha b'shuva v'niskabel tefiloso. Amru lo, the rabbanim disagree. This cannot be a source that Hashem was mekabel teshuva, because it says l'malchuso heshivo, Hashem returned him to his malchus, v'lo l'chaye ha'olam haba heshivo. Only to his malchus was he restored, but he was not given his portion back in olam haba. Okay, then we go further. Let's give another example. Arba hediotos, there are four hediotos. that have no chelik. Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu ha rasha b'din hu shloi ene oischa lefi shaka ascha lai. Okay, this goes on to say the same thing over here. Okay, this is where we did this idea already. Okay. Okay, who are the four hediotos, by the way? Who are the four hediotos? Bilam. Okay, Bilam Harasha, Doye Koadoimi, Achi Toifel, and Gechazi. Those are the four hediotos that have no chelik lo olam haba. What?
Gehazi does not.
Gehazi was the servant of Elisha.
Right. So why?
He the Shunamis. Okay. I don't remember the. He was disrespectful. He pushed her. He was guilty of everything that it says on the blogs. Hanay ben Yavin, of all the of all the. Abuse. He was guilty of. Okay. Gehazi. Yeah, I don't remember. He took also the spoils. He was the one, wasn't he? The one that Elisha told him. Elisha told Naaman. Naaman said you can take a gift. Naaman, because Elisha healed Naaman, so Naaman told Elisha, you go and you can take you could have yourself all this wealth. So Elisha said, I don't want it, I'm not interested. So Gehazi overheard about that, all the wealth, so he took it for himself. He lied, he made believe that Elisha said you can go take it, he took it for himself. So when Elisha found out, Elisha banished him, he became a Mitzorah, the Tsaras of Naaman should cleave to you, and he was banished from the city and he went outside. So he did a lot of.
He was one of the Abram Mitzrayim, right.
So he became one of the Mitzrayim. So he was outside the city when Shomron, when the Koilos from Shemayim, when he was starving.
Right.
So he was banished from the city at that point in time. Okay, so he committed a number of crimes and saved from Malachim to get him in the time of Elisha. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Dalit. Now, one of them very important. Ki Hashem vayeda Menashe ki Hashem hu hu Elokim. What does that mean exactly? Now we know Hashem is midas harachamim, and Elokim is midas hadin. He came to realize that part of Menashe's rebellion was his belief that Hakadosh Baruch Hu. This is an idea which was very common in ancient times, that a God can only have one midah. A God cannot be echad. You cannot have a God that's as rachamim and is din. A God that is night and a God that's also the God of day. If your niche is rachamim, then you're not going to be a God of midas hadin. So this is a general theme. At this point in time, he recognized ki Hashem hulukim, like Hashem is echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls everything. Now, why does that specifically fit into this this smaisa, I don't know. Another idea I saw, which is the whole different type of idea, I'm not sure how it fits into the words, but Hashem is a shame that is used sometimes in Tanakh to represent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. There is a creator. Elokim is begematria teva. Elokim represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's active hashkocha pratis. Hashem created the world. If you just had the Shem Hashem, that could have a connotation. Hashem created the world, and Hashem let the world to run on its own, and Hashem is not involved in the daily affairs of the world. Elokim means, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present in every single thing that happens in the world in Hashkocha Pratis. Menashe always believed there was a Hashem. I acknowledge a God created the world. He was the God of my father Chizkiyahu, but Menashe did not believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu was involved in the activities of this world, had anything to do with this world. At this moment in time when his life was threatened and he prayed and cried out to Hashem and miraculously he was saved, he recognized that Hashem indeed is Hashem Hu Hu Elokim. It's not just that God created the world. Hashem is actively involved. Hashem controls the shots. He pulls the strings in this world, and that's why he was able to save me in this instance. So that's another idea. idea why these two words come to play. Hashem, we know this, of course, that we have that by Eliyahu. When Eliyahu, he told the people to stop offering karbanos to the Baal, what was their response when they saw the fire come down from Shemayim? Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem hu Elokim. Right, we say that seven times. That's the last thing that we say on Yom HaKippurim. Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim. It represents a very high awareness of Hashem. Here, the Mefarshim explained it to me very specifically. Hashem is God who created the world. Elokim, He is involved. Hashem has power. In this world, every single thing that happens, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's doing. And when he was saved, he came to that recognition, that realization. Pasuk Yedaled.
You can also say that.
Well, that's what
the thing we say in Yom Kippur.
Right, so that's exactly the discussion of the Gemara. The Rabbanan say no, even right. Though it's Hashem, he knew that Hashem looked my, I'm aware, but so what? Very good, Hashem will look him, yet, not for me. I'm going to continue to do what I need to do. I'm only the Malchus Shav, but he was not Shav to his Chelik in Olam Haba. It's a very frightening thing. You can be Makar, Hashem will look him, but yet you're not going to come to, you know, it's not going to make a difference in your life. Afterwards, now when he came back to his malchus and he was restored to his malchus, and by the way, this was the last 33 years. Menashe was king for 55 years. For 22 years, he was extremely wicked. He undid all of the good of his father Chizkiyahu. For the last 33 years, he did tshuva. Question was, if the tshuva was sincere, was it not sincere? But it was not enough, it certainly was not enough in order to reverse what he has done. But it was for a very long period of time. So now we discuss what he did in the last 33 years of his malchus. On the west side, along the outer wall of Ir David, on the west side, which was opposite the stream, the Gichoin River, the Lavo Beshar Hadogim, and to the entrance to come into the Shar, the wall extended. We'll read the Mitzvot in a few moments. The wall extended from the place of the west side of the Gichon Aver, it extended to the Shar Hadogim. That was a gate, which we don't know what that gate was, along the west side of the city. The Savav LaOfel. Ofel was a fortress. Ofel was some location along the wall. He raised it to a very great height. He appointed officers along all of the fortified cities. Now this is interpreted as a praise to Menashe, part of his tshuva. Now it's very interesting. In Sefer Melachim, this is what I saw in the article. Eisenman in this parish in the article, he explains that in Sefer Melachim we don't find any discussion about the king's building walls. We don't find it. That's not an issue. Only in Sefer Divrei Hayyamim is it mentioned, I think, by five of the kings that they built walls. And the question is, why is this fact? Why is this such an important thing to know now that the kings built walls? Especially the kings who were tzaddikim, the four kings before Menashe, they were all good kings, tzaddikim. And here, Menashe L'choy was not a tzaddik, but we were mentioning this at the time when he did tshuva, he also built a wall. So why is this something, a mile that's been mentioned specifically in Sefer Divrei Hayyamim? It's a very big question. So there are many things to answer. First of all, we have to remember that this was written during the time of Ezra Nehemiah. And Ezra Nehemiah, we learned in Sefer Ezra Nehemiah, what was one of the major accomplishments of Ezra Nehemiah? To build a wall around Yerushalayim. With Sakonis Nefashas. Remember, they stood with their weapons as they were building walls, as they were building the wall, putting up a few stones. They had a security team to protect them. This concept that the walls of the city must be built for protection was emphasized to a very great degree in Sefer Divrei Hayyamim, which was presented to the people who lived at the time of the building of the Bayis Sheni to remind them, we have to build the walls of the city. If we're not going to have protection, then we're not going to survive. Because that's something that's on a very simple pshat why we mention this fact. On another level, the building of the walls represents that in Sefer Melachim, they were very great holy people. It was during the time of the Nevi'im. And during those times, of course, they built walls, they did ishtadlus, but the ishtadlus of Gashmias was extremely minor. It was unimportant. The only thing that was important, was emphasized, was ruchnias. If a person was a Yari Shemayim, He had bitachon and amun in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Then Memela, everything was okay. He was protected. There was nothing to worry about. 500 years later, when we look back at the same stories and you tell the people the story, what exactly happened at that point in time, you tell them about their very exalted degree of amuna and bitachon, it did not relate to the people of the time. Because Niskatnu Hadoros, it's now in 500 years. In 500 years, you can't tell a person that you don't need to go to a doctor. Maybe the Ramban says you're not going to go to a doctor. A person's sick, no matter what illness you have, you just mispalel, and you'll get better. And that may be good for a person living in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe someone in the Madrega of the Ramban, living in the time of the Rishonim, you're a very holy person. But you tell this to a person today, they look at you like you're crazy.
Wasn't Ramban a doctor?
The Ramban? Ramban?
Ramban
also was a doctor.
Also?
Yeah.
I didn't know that the Ramban...
Okay, I don't know. So he's practicing, so...
He wasn't on the level.
He's putting himself out of business. Okay, I don't know then.
Yeah, but they, it's different kind of physicians.
Okay, I don't know, but it's a different magic in the time of ancient times. Then you can say such things. Your audience will be receptive to hearing.
He did alternative medicine,
right? No, a lot of them would not.
Spiritual medicine. Spiritual medicine.
Sforno was also.
Oh yeah, he was big doctor.
But in modern times, you can't talk like this. Of course, you have to have emunah b'tochon, but you must do ishtadlus, and possibly the emphasis is more on ishtadlus than it is on the religious matters. So when we're looking back at history, 500 years later, it's a different perspective. You can't... What?
That video about the ghosts?
Yeah, I didn't see it. I didn't see it.
Because one of the nurses said, we pray, and they asked him, pray? She says, yeah, we do a little bit, but he does most of it.
Who's he? Hashem. Hashem.
He was a nurse.
Unbelievable. Okay, it's unbelievable. I don't see it.
The bros?
The baby, gross, those two babies, so poison.
The two children? Yeah.
There's a little video when they came out of the coma.
So in the perspective of 500 years later, you have to emphasize the fact that there is hishtadlus, because this is what relates to the people living at the time. Okay, another idea why we make mention of the fact that they rebuilt the wall, because the kings that were evil at this point in time, their rishis was so great, they were so self-absorbed in their desires, in their taivas, they abandoned their responsibility as a melech. A sign of being a good melech, the other way they say, if you want to get something done, give it to a busy person. Because a busy person, he optimizes his time, he accomplishes a lot. So if you need something done, give him something to do. He'll find that. If you give it to a person who's not busy, why is he not busy? He's lazy. So even though what you need to get done takes 5 minutes, and you have the whole day to do it, you have nothing to do, person that's lazy, the same way he doesn't do anything else, he's not going to do the task that takes only 5 minutes. But you give to a person that's a to-do list, 50 things to do. I got one more thing for you to do. I want you to mail this letter for me. You can be sure it'll get done. Because a person that is busy is a person that accomplishes. A person that's lazy, even though he has all the time and the resources, he's lazy. He'll give him something to do, it'll never get done. The same thing with the king. A king that is a successful king is a sign of his success, that he's successful spiritually, as if he is successful in the physical world, in his role as a king. The kings that were evil, that were continuously worshipping idols and making trouble, they let the walls of the city collapse. There was no food, there was no social services, there was nothing. Because they were busy. What were they busy with? Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim. The same way on a personal, on a spiritual level, they were negligent. They were negligent in their responsibility as the melech for the upkeep of the city. The fact that the Pasuk here records that Menashe rebuilt the walls indicates that he was a responsible person. And if you're responsible in your role as a king, that automatically indicates that you're responsible in your spiritual role as a human being. And in that way, it's coming to praise, to give him praise, that I can prove to you that there was some degree of sincerity in his tshuva. Because look, he rebuilt the walls. And rebuilding the walls means he's doing his role. And in fact, we only find rebuilding the walls by the other five kings mentioned, Sefer Devar HaYam, who were also righteous. So it goes hand in hand. Like, you know, the things with the Musa, with the father, he comes to visit his son, he travels hundreds of miles to visit his son in yeshiva. And the son's in the middle of Seder, and he says, I just want to see his dormitory room. I want to see his bedroom. He goes in the dormitory room, and he sees the bed is neat, and all the sfarim are arranged, and all of his personal items are in their right place. And the person says, Father, I can go home now. I don't have to see him. If I see that his dormitory room is Beseder, that indication that same way in the Gashmias he's Beseder, in Ruchnias he's also Mesuder. That's exactly what the Pasuk here is saying. If Gashmias...
In order...
If his bed is, I don't remember what they said it's about.
Just the opposite. If the swarm are
no, it means that it's personal. It means his personal item.
His, it's not taken out.
His bedroom, his private quarters were meticulous. Everything was al mekaymah. Everything was in its right place. That means you're a person who is mesuder. Okay, that means you are.
Organized.
You're organized. If you're organized in Gashmis, that's an indication that your life is in order. That's exactly what he's saying over here, is the fact that the walls are being rebuilt. Everything was al Mekoyma is an indication. Everything is. He is also a spiritual, a person that's Mesuda. No, on the other. On the other, yeah.
Cluttered desk is indicative of a cluttered mind.
Ah, okay, yeah, that's what it's saying over here. On the other hand, someone told me that a certain Rosh Hashiva, he's no longer living for many, many years, he told me that this person was known to be a scatterbrain. Like, you walk into his house, like, everything is like, there's no such thing as Seder. But he was known to be a genius, known to be a gon, tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham. I don't want to say his name because then I don't want to, one lead the other. But someone, Rabbi Reisman, said that he was a Talmud of this person. And once, and he always told me once, like everything with this guy, scatterbrain. So once he needed notes, he was in yeshiva, and he needed one of his notes, shiurim, something that he wrote. And he asked Rabbi Reisman to go to his home and to go into the closet and to get a certain thing. So Reisman, oh my gosh, I'm going to go to his house. Who knows what I'm going to find there? And he told exactly where it is, exactly where you'll find it. So he goes to his home, and sure enough, everything is
Hadar.
He goes to the closet where his notes were Chidushe Torah. He opens up the closet. And the Chidushei Torah were organized in a way that he never in his life saw. He had everything, every Masechta, every Shir, every Parsha, every Chidush, everything he ever learned was Mesuder in this closet, the Tachlis Hasidah.
Because that was important for him. Everything else was not important.
And realizing in the Shir, he said it was in the Shteime. How could it be when it came to everything else? But yet, when it comes to his Chidushim, so it goes to show that what's important to you, if it's Mesuder, it says something. All right, so you don't really know, but that's what it's looking at. This we give very great high praise. He removed the idols. He did tshuva. The Elohei Anechar v'yes Hasemel v'yes Hashem, and the image from the Beis Hashem v'yes Hamizbechos and the Mizbech Asher Bon Bahar Beis Bahar. The har based Hashem of Yisholoim by Yashleich Chutz Soloir, and he cast them out. Suddenly, there's one big mistake he made. He did not destroy it. It says here it's Vayashlech. He put it in the dumpster. Why was that a mistake? They didn't have in those days shredding machines or some type of machine to completely blur. Because his son Omon, which came after Menashe, what did he do? He went back to the bad ways. He went to the, and he just went to the dumpster. And he took him out, and that's what they refer to this pasuk. He just vayash lechut soleir. It was easy for his son Amon to retrieve it. He should have went and pulverized it, and that would have made it hard for Amon. Maybe the tirch of making new idols and raising money to make new idols would have deterred him from sinning to the degree that he sunk. Okay, pasuk tazayin vayichen es mizbach. So what did he do then? He repaired the base of vayichen es mizbach Hashem. Vayizbach alav zivche shlamim v'tvesoida, and he offered zivche shlamim v'soida. Vayemer liyuda lamod es, and he told Yehuda la'avoid es Hashem elokei Yisrael. He told them he did not make a passionate plea. He did not do like what his father Yechizkiyahu did and make a communal Karban Pesach and all things like that. He just went and he very gently ask people that they should serve Hashem. But it was too little, too late. The damage was done. Even though this was 33 years of tshuva, it was not enough. They continue to offer on the babamos. Rak Lashem, Rak Lashem, Elokehem. The people continued to offer sacrifice. Babamos, on the bamos, meaning that was forbidden, that was not proper. You're not allowed to offer karbonos on the bamos. Rak, the only good thing was, it was LaHashem Elokeihem, it was to Hashem. So at least that much it was okay, that much it was good, but it was still partial sin that you're not allowed to offer karbonos outside the base HaMikdash. Pasuk Yudches v'yesed divrei Menashe u'sfiloso, and the remainder of his words of the matters of Menashe and his prayer El Elokov, how he was mispalul to Hashem at the time when they threw him into a furnace, the divrei hachleizim hamadar meilov, and all of the words of prophecy that the prophets said about him, specifically Yeshaya and others who lived at that time, b'shem Hashem Elokei Yisrael hinam al divrei Malchei Yisrael, can be found in the Chronicles. Obviously referring to another Sefer, can be found in Sefer Melachim. It's not a Melachim, there's not very much. And Sefer Melachim, we cannot refer to Sefer Melachim because we don't have anything there. But we have it in reference against other books that have been lost from us. Pasuk Yates, Usfilosai. Furthermore, if we want to know the exact text of his Tfilah, Vehe Oselo, and how Hashem responded, how Hashem allowed himself to be entreated, V'chol Chatoso, Umalo, despite, here it means despite the fact that he sinned against Hashem and rebelled, V'hamachemos, Hashabon, V'chem, Bamos, and all the places where he built Bamos, V'hemet, Ha'asherim, V'hapsilim, Lifnei, he kano, before he humbled himself, Hinom, Kisuvim, Al-Sefer.
Why are you mentioning in the Bamos
that he built? I guess it was so great because like Rashi said before we started that it was still suffering from Menashe until today. It's a very powerful Rashi that it was still suffering ad hayom hazeh. Here we are tough. Hey Allah, Tav Shin Ayin Dalid, we're still suffering because of Menashe. So I guess we really want to emphasize everything that he did have a lasting impact.
The Gemara says that the Korban was decreed
at that moment in time in his generation, and we never pulled out of it.
It didn't matter what would happen after that.
They reached such a low.
Tshuva, whatever it is, but Korban was happening because of the Menashe.
We reached such a low, so maybe I know a lot of things are still real mysteries why they mentioned. Hinam ksuvim al sefer divrei chozoi. They read al sefer chozoi means the prophets. Okay, a choze is a prophet, a seer, and again, so the exact nusach of his prayer and how Hashem answered this thing requires insight from the Nevi'im, the prophets, and that's where you can find them. We don't have these svarim anyway. He was not buried with the kings. Obviously, he was extremely wicked. Even though he did tshuva, the tshuva did not allow him to be come back and to be returned to the burial plot of his ancestors, of his father Chizkiyahu and David and Shlomo. Vayimloch Amon bino tachtov. His son Amon took his place. Pasuk Chav Aleph. Ben Amon was 22 years old. Ben Eshem u'shtaim shon Amon b'molcho u'shtaim shon malach b'yushon l'gulu for 2 years. Vayasu Rabbi Yenei Hashem kasher osa Menashe aviv u'lechol ha'pesilim asher osa Menashe aviv. And to all of the idols. Now here it says pesilim. This is a very important point. All of the idols, the pesilim which his father did, Asha Osa Menashe Aviv, Zibach Amon Vayavdeim, Amon offered sacrifices and served them. So he pulled them out of the garbage, he pulled them out of the dumpster, he put them back in their place, and he offered sacrifices and he worshipped them. Mefarshim point out that here it says, Uluchol HaPesilim, back in Pasuk Zayin, to go back to Pasuk Zayin, it says, Vayosem Es Pesel HaSemel. So there he calls it the Pesel, here he calls it the Pesilim. And the answer is, it really refers to Menashe. Menashe, originally, he maybe put a Pesel, an idol, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Heichal. And an idol is a statue. A statue has a head. A head only faces one direction. Menashe, as he progressed and deepened his rishis, he upgraded his idol that it should have a face on all four sides. Just like we know the Merkava has a partner as a tzur of different creatures on all four sides, so too the pesel that Menashe made in the Heichal had an image, a face, on all four sides. And the reason being, we don't know what this means, that in any direction in which the Shekhinah would approach, it should be angered by the image of Avodah Zarah. Somehow it appears that the Shekhinah is mobile. The Shekhinah moves. It comes and goes. It moves from place to place. And the Shekhinah can come in any of the four directions. Menashe had such a wicked nature, he wanted Lahachis to anger the Shekhinah. So originally, as long as the pestle is there, that would be enough to anger the Shekhinah. But the Shekhinah appeared, did not want to have a confrontation with the pestle. So the Shekhinah came from the other directions, which it would not actually see the Tzuras HaPanim of the pestle. Menashe, in his wickedness, to provoke the Shekhinah, constructed, fashioned a pestle, an image on all four sides, so that no matter which direction the Shekhinah would enter, it would be angered. This was the degree of wickedness of Menashe, and that's why here it says it pisilim in the plural, whereas before it says it in the singular to indicate the upgrade of Menashe. I'll read you this a Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. The Gemara Sanhedrin says, "Vayosem es pesel asemel ksif pesel loshen yachid." But later it says, "Pesilim amar Rabbi Yochanan batchila osolo partsuf echad v'labesoif osolo arba partsufim." He made four partsufim kedei shetirish shechina v'tichos. The shechina should see the tzura in any of the four directions and get angry. Okay, so this was Menashe, Vayavdein, Pasuk Chav Gimel, Pasuk Chav Gimel, V'loy Nichna Milufnei Hashem, Ki Kona Menashe Aviv. He never did tshuva. He never humbled himself before Hashem like his father. Ki Hu Amon Hirba Ashma, he increased wickedness. What happened to Amon? What was his end? Vayikshu Olav Avadov, his servants rebelled against him. Vayimisu Beveso, and they killed him in his home. He was assassinated. He was assassinated by his servants. And this is some of our Shalom. They wanted people who were tzaddikim, people who were sick and tired of Avodah Zarah. They wanted to go back to the days of Chizkiyahu. They wanted to go back to the good old days. And therefore, they had enough of him, they killed him. And what happened to those people? The people that murdered Yish, the people, the tzaddikim that murdered Amon, were in turn murdered by some other people, the other people that murdered people who wanted to were happy with Amon. They wanted to worship Avodah Zarah. So Vayaku Am Aretz Eis Kol HaKoshim Al HaMelech, the people, the Am Aretz, meaning the wicked people of the land who did want to worship idols, they took revenge for the assassination of Amon and they murdered the assassins Al HaMelech Amon. Vayamlichu Am Aretz Es Yoshiyahu B'no Tachtav. And who do they anoint? They anointed who they felt would be the person that would continue in the ways of Amon, Yoshiyahu. That's a very interesting thing. Yoshiyahu, we know, was one of the greatest kings. Yoshiyahu was like his grandfather, was like his great-grandfather, Chizkiyahu. He turned the tide once again. He instituted a very great Musar movement. And he almost himself became a Mashiach. And he almost prevented the Chum from happening. But he died prematurely when he had a whole issue with Yirmiyah, about letting the people, the king of Mitzrayim, pass through the land. That's the kinah on Tisha B'av Vayikonin, Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. But before Yoshiyahu became a very great tzaddik, people believed that Yoshiyahu would be the same as Amon. So this is what's so interesting. We have here this extremely wicked man, Amon. He's an Oved Avodah Zarah. There are tzaddikim in the generation. The tzaddikim said, enough, we got to get rid of this guy. They assassinate him. Who do they want to put in place? Who do they want to appoint as replacement for Amon? Not Yoshiyahu. No way. Because they figured that Yoshiyahu would be more of the same. If Amon is a Rasha, so L'chaira, Amon's son Yoshiyahu would continue to be a Rasha. So who did they want? They had a candidate. They had someone. They had a one that they figured was a tzaddik, would replace Amon. So they killed Amon. They had their men lined up to put into place. But before they had a chance to appoint a tzaddik, they, the assassins, were taken out by the Rishoyim, who were very upset. Why did you kill the king? The king was a great guy. He let us do Avodah Zarah. Why did you take away our opportunity to have Avodah Zarah? So now they kill these conspirators, and now they said we want to resurrect Amon. Can't do that, we can't resurrect. Who can we appoint that will be the most similar to Amon to make sure that we're able to continue worshipping idols? His son! L'chayr, the son, will follow in the ways of the father. So they appointed Yoshiyahu. That was their big mistake. Because Yoshiyahu indeed turned out to be a very great tzaddik, a much greater tzaddik than anyone else been. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a sense of humor. Right? They thought that putting in Amon, killing the conspirators, and putting in Yoshiyahu would allow them to return to Avodah Zarah. Pum fakert. Putting in Yoshiyahu, killing the conspirators, and putting in Yoshiyahu was what prevented them from doing Avodah Zarah, because in a very short time, Yoshiyahu became a tzaddik and wiped out Avodah Zarah of the land. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who ultimately rules the world. Yoshiyahu took his place. Let's take a look at the Mitzudos, these few words of the Mitzudos. We learned about his great deeds. The deeds are the Marava. He built a wall on the west side of the Megichon. Holich ben Avanachel v'lavo u'misham. V'lo v'lavo means misham. It continued. Meshech achayim v'lavo b'shar adagim u'misham holach v'saves ha'ifel v'hu shem migdalim of a fortress. There was a fortress somehow along the western side of the city, which this new wall surrounded or was part of. Now even as Mizbach was taking the Vichitshel, he renewed the base of the Mizbeach. Rak Lashem v'al kol ze asudim heim mishnivne habayis. Even though Menashe did tshuva and he rebuilt the Mizbeach, but people began to rebuild bamos and they offered korbanos to Hashem. But that's not so bad. They're offering it to Hashem, but it's still forbidden because it's shchute, because you're not allowed to offer an abama once we have a base hamigdash. Hagam. Hinam Kisuv Maldivrei Hayamim Shel Malchei Yisrael. If you want to know more about his accomplishments, check out the Chronicles of the Malchei Yisrael. The Heosa. If you want to know about his tefillah, check out the Divrei Chozoi, the words of the prophets, how Hashem listened to his prayer, Masha Hashem Kibel Tefiloso. Then we go to Amon, Kihu Amon, Ratzulaymar, Hu Hoya Behavioso, Mitchila Viatsov. Here be Ashma Lashabi Darko Midrochov. He was worse than his father. His father, at least to some degree, did tshuva the last 33 years of his life. Amon did not do tshuva. He was wicked from beginning to end. He only lasted 2 years. Okay, Rashi, a few short Rashis. Finish the parak. Pasuk Yudalid. Legichon benachal. Eitzel nachal gichon shem mokoim. V'sivev lo'ifel. V'sivev misham choyzek hamigdolim habanui b'meleches oifel. This wall that he built surrounded and strengthened this massive tower called the Ofel. Menashe, when he did shuva the last 33 years, he took all of the Avodah Zarah and he threw it outside the city. However, he made the mistake that he did not obliterate them. He did not put them in Geniza. He did not hide them from naked eye. Therefore, Nichshal Bohem Bino Kidachsev Ulchol Hapasilim Asher Osa Menashe Aviv Vechulu Shalokach Oisam Mimokam Shishlich Osam. Menashe took them from the place where he found them, where they will be put, and he restored them. Pasuk Tezayin VaYisbach Olav Zivchei Shlomim V'Soida Shehevi Karbon Toida V'Hisfadol HaKadosh Baruch. So here is this very interesting pasuk Tezayin, that after he was saved, when Menashe was saved, he offered a Karbon Toida. A person that comes out of prison, one of the four people that are mechuyev to bring carbon toida is a person that is released from prison. Menashe was in prison. He was, as we mentioned in the beginning, he was in the ultimate prison, right? With the word vayilkoid and the word choch, he'll hook and lakida. Those two unusual words go together. He was in the prison. Carbon toida, his father, like Hashem, who sheshivu, he prays Hashem, yishlam al chuso, utvilos heich and nispel of heisalo, veyishiva al chuso, vayikbru bebeiso, kama bais, kama began beiso, velo zoch likavir ma'avos. He was did not merit to be buried in his forefathers. One last thought. Now, one of the other things I want to discuss with you tomorrow, but one thought now, just to include, we mentioned last week that the reason why the entire process of tshuva is not mentioned in Sefer Melachim, it's only mentioned in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. So we discussed last week one reason is that there's a machlekes in the Gemara de Menashe v'chelik leilam haba. So we discussed the idea that Sefer Melachim is written according to the approach that he does not have a chelik leilam haba, and therefore we completely do not mention his tshuva because the tshuva was not worth anything. And Sefer Divrei Hayam was written according to the opinion that Menashe does have a chelik leilam haba, and therefore we do make mention of his tshuva. That was one approach. There's another idea I came across. The reason why we mention that Menashe did tshuva in Sefer Divrei Hayamim is because there's a rule: a person, if he's a machti, there's a chayte, a person can do averos. But it's much worse when you cause other people to do averos. If a person causes someone else to do an avera, even if you do tshuva, your tshuva is not going to help you very much if your victims are still doing averos. It's not fair that a person should be in Gan Eden when his Talmidim are in Gehenim. If you have a person and he leads a cult, a group of people, and he teaches them all to be murderers, to do terrible averos, and then the leader, at the end of his life, he does tshuva, and then he comes to Shemayim. What do they say? Oh, we're going to put you in Gan Eden. You're going to go to Gan Eden, and all of your students are going to go to Gehenim? It's not fair. Just because you did tshuva, you have to suffer the consequences of your actions. So this is a very interesting idea. At the time when Sefer Melachim was written, it was written at the time of Menashe's death, time of Yirmiyah, 50 years after he died. All of Menashe's Talmidim, his generation, were still worshipping idols because of Menashe. So very nice. Menashe, the last 33 years of his life, he did tshuva. Very good, he did tshuva. Okay, he did tshuva. But his Talmidim, the whole Klal Yisrael, is worshipping idols. The damage was so great. So, well, we're going to say when Sefer Melachim is being written at the time of Yirmiyah, oh, we're going to say Menashe is a tzaddik, he did tshuva. Yeah, he did tshuva, he's going to Elam Haba, and the whole Klal Yisrael is going down the drain. We're watching the Churban unfold in front of us. It's not fair. But Sefer Divrei Hayamim is being written 500 years later. Klal Yisrael already did tshuva. Or at least the degree of Menashe's actions are no longer felt. Klal Yisrael did Averis, they did Avodah Zarah, there was a Churban, but everyone died already. And the Avodah Zarah, that's, there is no more Yetzar for Avodah Zarah, it was Batal. So his sins are no longer, there are no longer any Talmidim that are suffering because of Menashe. So now we can first say that Menashe maybe has a chance of getting tshuva. It's a very interesting idea. When you look at the time when it's being written, it wouldn't be fair to say he did tshuva. People are suffering because of him. He was a chayte machti. But on Divrei Hayamim, then already, it's over. Everyone already got what they deserve, so now everyone's equal. Everyone's on an equal playing field. So now everyone can do tshuva in Shemayim, whatever that means. Everyone has a chance for tshuva. So Menashe also has a chance for tshuva, and we can make mention of the fact that he did do tshuva. Okay, so that concludes this perek.